I'm attorney David Gruber. We've helped injured Wisconsinites for more than 30 years. Trust our hometown team to get you back in the game. Gruber Law Offices, proud partner of your Milwaukee Brewers. One call, that's all.
Name in as our cousin's sub of the day for Tausch, who is on assignment. Cousin subs, we believe in better. So, Eric, you know you're one of my favorite people.
Sure.
Tausch makes fun of me for having a lot of favorite people, but now I get to interact with two of my favorite people simultaneously to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. Do we usually do guests to start an hour, Jesse?
Only when Tausch sets them up, really.
So what happened in this case?
Well, what happened is Sophia usually joins us on Tuesday. And okay. Tuesday was a little tough this week.
A few stories going on, yeah.
And so then I forgot to text Sophia back yesterday. And then I texted her kind of late this morning. I was like, well, 10 a.m. would work. So that's how we got to 10 a.m.
Wow. Well, I'm not okay with the way Sophia was booked. I'm not okay with that at all.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know the story behind it before I asked.
It reflects poorly on the show.
It reflects poorly on Jesse, for sure, and that made it all worthwhile. Let us welcome in one of our favorite humans. You can see her on Bally Sports Wisconsin and with the Milwaukee Brewers. She will not be traded at the trade deadline. I feel very confident saying that. It is our friend Sophia Minert on Wilde and Tausch. Sophia, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I think I'm like everybody else. I'm counting down to 3 o'clock when the trade deadline is over.
So
we'll see what happens.
These trade deadline days with you are difficult for us because I don't know if you hear rumblings, but you're a Brewers employee, so I don't foresee you telling us, oh yeah, they're working on this.
I mean, you can if you want. We're not going to stop you.
That's true. We won't.
Right.
But
I would also like to be working the game tonight.
Yes, and we would like you to. That, quite frankly, if you start giving away trade secrets, you will be traded after I just said you wouldn't be. So, yeah, we don't want that at all. Let's talk in general terms, though, and start with because, look, your team has made some pretty significant moves during the season, including one to add an all-star first baseman as well. What do you think is going to happen moving forward here with the trade deadline approaching?
Yeah, I mean, we're like, you know, just under 5 hours away. So this is when things really pick up steam, obviously, when you're up against the clock. And I do think, you know, I feel like I have, you know, I have no, like, inside information to back this up. But I just think David Stearns and Matt Arnold and the rest of the front office, they pursue every opportunity to add to the team. You know, I think they've been active going back to the start of the season, right? Trading away Orlando Arcia, even the timing of the Willy Adames trade coming at the end of May. They've already made a move, as you said, acquiring Eduardo Escobar, which I think is going to be really impactful. He's expected to join the team today in Atlanta. You know, David Stearns, when we spoke to him after that acquisition, you know, what he says is that this is kind of a unique year because in the past there would be a kind of second deadline, a waiver deadline at the end of August. So even though you couldn't do trades, you could kind of make these transactions on the waiver wires. That's gone away. So this is really kind of your last opportunity to add to your team. And so it does change the decision-making a little bit for general managers. So I think, you know, when he spoke to us, it was about, he used the word redundancies, you know, redundancies across the field of knowing that this is your last opportunity. You want as much depth as possible. He said, we are trying to plan for the unexpected. Certainly that depth has been tested this year with the number of players that they have used. I think it's up to 53 now. And so they want depth, they want versatility, they want options, they want coverage for injuries and anything that can happen here over the final 2 months. So that's, I think if you're looking at areas of where they're going to add, they're always looking at pitching, you know, especially in the bullpen. That's an area where I think you feel like you never have enough arms.
Sophia, can you tell me more about Eduardo Escobar? I feel like, you know, I've been in a bit of a haze for the last couple months.
Why?
Gee, I wonder why, Eric.
No idea. It's just been, you know, I haven't been able to keep as close of an eye on the Brewers as I might like. I believe that's a utility infielder. I believe he can be used mm-hmm. all over the field. How does that kind of play into the importance of what he can do in Milwaukee? And then also, he was an All-Star, so that would suggest to me he's pretty stinking good.
Yeah, he is. He is pretty good. You know, he has had a really nice career, starting with the White Sox, then with the Twins. He has spent the last 3 years with Arizona. He signed a 3-year deal with them when he was traded from the Twins, and so he's going to be a free agent after this year. But it feels like a kind of peak David Stearns move in that it addresses all of the things that they like, right? He's a switch hitter. He's a versatile infielder. He's primarily played third base. He has played second base. He can play shortstop. He has never played first base, but they've already had a conversation with him. And by all accounts, he says he's up for it of trying first base. And so I think that, again, just gives them more options of, you know, first base is one of the spots that they have looked for consistent production. And one of the previous trades that they have made with the Toronto Blue Jays and Rowdy Tellez, it's only been 2 weeks for him with this team, but he's been really impactful and he's given them some great power, you know, a lefty bat, and he's been really productive in that spot for them. And I think Eduardo Escobar now is just another option as a switch hitter. And I think as we really get down the stretch in August and September, it also gives you more flexibility if Colton Wong needs a day off. You know, Wong's been on the IL 3 times. You hope he can be healthy here down the stretch. Willy Adames has played in every game but one since he was acquired on May 22nd, if he needs some days off. Same with Luis Urias. I think, you know, Luis Urias and Escobar become really complementary pieces in that they become the guys that can move around defensively and give you great options off of the bench as well. And so, you know, when we talked to Craig Counsell yesterday about it, even he is still kind of thinking through the Tetris puzzle, right, of how you can put these lineups together every day. But this is what David Stearns was talking about in the redundancies, is like good playoff contending teams have tough lineup decisions to make every day. And that's what David Stearns is trying to give Craig, you know, every day is give him tough choices to make. And I just think everything we've heard about Eduardo Escobar off the field as well, it's off the charts, you know, character, personality, leadership in the clubhouse. He loves Fogo de Chao. It's turned into this whole Fogo power when he was with the Minnesota Twins. So it seems like he's going to be a great fit. And again, he'll join the team in Atlanta today.
I think for the first time in my life, Sophia, starting pitching is not like a problem in Milwaukee. And typically, we're stressing out on these shows about, oh, could you add an arm at the deadline? And to me, maybe it's more of the bullpen this year. Obviously, you gave up 2 arms to get Adames in the middle of the year. So what does the bullpen kind of look like right now? I know there's been some questions about Josh Hader and his usage as of late as well. So what is the bullpen looking like, and why might that be a spot where they'd be looking to add an arm today?
Well, I think, you know, for as much as you have your anchors at the front, right, with your workhorses and the starting rotation, I think they're just as confident in what they have in the back end. you know, obviously starting with Josh Hader and Devin Williams and Brad Boxberger. Those are like your three locks. And Brent Suter, I would include Brent Suter in that group as well. They've really been kind of the core four that have been in the bullpen, been consistent since opening day, right? And the bullpen usually is the most tumultuous part of your team. There's just inevitably a lot of turnover, injuries, roster moves, et cetera. The Brewers have gone through all of those. I would say, though, you're always looking for more, right? You're always looking for another high leverage guy. You're looking for another guy. I think they feel pretty well balanced in terms of their lefty and righty mix with what they have right now. But I think you're always looking for somebody like, you know, like a Brad Boxberger, who came over as a minor league invite, but has closing experience and has been extremely durable and valuable to Craig Counsell and that bullpen. So it may not be like a big name, you know, in the past, when you look at the additions that they've made at the trade deadline, it's almost always in the bullpen. They may not always be like the big names, but they can provide really valuable innings down the stretch. And again, it's about having depth and options, it's about having balance. They love guys with options for that reason, to have that depth. So those are the kinds of moves that we've typically seen from David Stearns at the deadline. But I will say, like, you know, the relievers that have really stepped up have been, you know, Hunter Strickland, again, a midseason acquisition. Chase Cousins, who has come out of indie ball and been lights out. Miguel Sanchez, you know, he's been tremendous for them as well. So I think they feel good about the group overall. They've been productive, but you're always looking to add more.
If you're wondering why we have Sophia Minard on this show, it's not just because she's one of our favorite humans. It's not because she has a wealth of knowledge about so many different topics, including the Brewers. It is because I read one story and I call Eduardo Escobar a first baseman because I read that they were planning on trying him there. I did get right that he was an all-star. And Eric Naim asks about Escobar by saying, I saw he's a former All-Star, so I guess he's pretty stinking good. So that's the sum total of the insight you get here from us. That's why we have Sophia to help us through. Sophia, I do know that the combined score of the sweep of the Arr Pirates was 28-3. I'm wondering how many times you have seen the team you cover be that dominant over a three-game stretch in just about every way possible, because I caught a little bit of each game, and it was, you know, you look at the box scores. I used to look at them in the newspaper every morning as a kid, but you look at the box scores on the internet now, and they really are like 12 runs, 16 hits, 0 runs, 3 hits. Like, that's dominating in every way possible.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, 28-3, that's a good Packers score, right? Like, that's
not a good score for the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl at halftime. No.
I mean, maybe a good harbinger for success heading to Atlanta. I don't know. Like, that could be a good number to head to Atlanta on.
That's true. That's true. We're manifesting good things to happen this weekend. But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, to have two shutouts in a three game series is right. Everything you need to know about how dominating this pitching staff has been. And July has been their best month as a pitching staff. It's an earned run average just over 2. The opponent average is less than 200. I mean, they've been almost unhittable. And I think that's what you saw in the Pittsburgh series. And again, Craig Counsell talks about, like, how these things are all connected, right? And the one thing that the starting rotation, I think, has gone kind of under the radar is, like, they almost never have short starts, right? It's almost always a quality start. They're going 5, 6, 7 innings, sometimes into the 8th, right? And what that does for your bullpen in terms of lining up their usage, keeping guys fresh, keeping them healthy, favorable matchups, I mean, it's all related. And I think that's been sort of the under the radar part of why this pitching staff has been as good and as consistent as they have been, because it starts with the length that the starters are giving you at the front. They're giving up almost nothing, you know, when you look at what Freddie and Corbin and Brandon are doing, and Adrian Hauser, the team has won, I think, his last 8 or 9 starts now. Brett Anderson delivering quality starts. So, you know, they've been consistent as a group, and what that does for your bullpen is just invaluable. And then you know, the bullpen, they're doing their jobs. They're putting up zeros regardless of the score. They're attacking. They're really not giving up anything. So, to me, that's kind of the story. You know, it's been pitching all year. We've talked about it a lot, and now you're seeing the offense step up. July's been a really good month for them. The Pittsburgh series was great just to see so much. You know, it was first inning offense. It was add-on runs. It was big innings. It was home runs by a handful of different guys. It was one of those series where kind of it all clicked. And it was fun to watch. It was very fun to watch.
Sophia, I'm not feeling great about the booking process, but we're thrilled that you joined us nevertheless. Thanks for adjusting your schedule for Aaron Rodgers and for our show. And we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. You're the best. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
That is our friend Sophia Minter from Bally Sports Wisconsin. We need to play.
Wait a second. Did she just say have a great week? It's Friday.
Talk to her next week, though. So she's... she's saying it'll have a great week, and then next.
I mean,
week,
I'm going through it right now. Yeah. I'm struggling to figure out what day it is. All of a sudden, it's Friday, and I'm hearing "Have a great week," and I'm thinking, "Wait, it's the start of the week? I thought it was the end of the week." I was freaking out there.
If anyone around here would remember to text her, then it will be about a week by the time we hear from her next time, and then we'll be good to go. Yeah,
that sounds remarkably like Jesse asking others of us to do that part of his job. We can text.
I don't
her for
work
you,
here, Jesse.
Yeah, Eric,
I want to make
do?
It clear. I don't.
What
work
do you
here.
Do around here, Eric?
I don't work here.
What you're going to do is you're going to play Wildy and Tausch trivia next, without me, because I'm going to make my way down to practice. Jesse, do you have Molly Brown once again? Learning the ropes from you, or are you actually going to have to answer the calls yourself?
I'm looking around, and I do not see anybody else with me. So, unfortunately for me, it's more work. I will have to answer the phone.
All right. Yeah. Caller 75.
Whoa! I'd take one of those digits.
All right. We did caller 12 to Molly. I think it's only fair that we do caller 12 to you today to finish up the week.
You know what? I deserve this. You're right.
I think you do. We do it out of love.
Yeah.
So caller 12 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 12 right now. Jesse, what's today's category?
Name that Olympic sport.
Clever with Eric Name here to handle the questions. Caller 12 right now. 844-770-3776. I will rejoin you after you play Wildy and Tausch Trivia. I will be at practice. Wildy and Tausch Trivia next. Again, caller 12, 844-770-3776. I'm going to leave my camera on in my locked office just so you have to stare at an empty chair. Wildy and Tausch Trivia is next. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Way to Packers training camp practice day 3 up in Green Bay. So it's Jesse Nelson and Cousin Sub of the day, Eric Name. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. About to play Wildy and Tausch trivia. Remember, if you missed Sophia Minard of Bally Sports Wisconsin joining us moments ago, or any of our shows here, the Wildy and Tausch podcast on Wisconsin On Demand is brought to you by Gruber Law Offices. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, call Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Eric, our trivia category today is Name That Olympic Sport. Have you been invested in the Olympics?
I have been. This morning I watched a whole lot of United States women's soccer. It was wonderful. So I had a great time this morning watching that. Olympics have been tough overall. The channels are confusing. There's things on Peacock. I don't have everything all figured out from that perspective.
I saw you helping Giannis try to find the USA men's basketball game the other day. That was...
I mean, it's rough. It's rough stuff. Yeah. I should be better. I'm a millennial, so I should be better at doing all these things, but I am very much a crotchety old man. I have a TV. I have cable. Put it on my TV. Just put it on my TV, and I have a remote, and I'll find it. Like, don't make me work or say I need to open up an app or go to Peacock or whatever this is. Like, just put it on my TV. I pay for it. Put it there. So I've been frustrated with the Olympics, but I'm having a good time overall.
Chad is camping at Governor Dodge this weekend. He has called in from the campsite to be our trivia contestant today. So he is, I would assume, unless he's watching on the app, he is not watching the Olympics while he's working on making the fire at 9 o'clock at night. Chad, how you doing this morning?
Good, fellas. How are you?
I mean, come on. This is a bit. There's birds chirping. There's literal birds chirping in the background. That's unreal. Wow.
Set the scene for us, Chad. What's it looking like at Governor Dodge on this beautiful morning as you camp and listen to your favorite radio show? Jesse and Eric name.
It's overcast temperature-wise. It's beautiful. Humidity broke. Can't complain.
Love it.
That's unreal. All right, let's get to some questions. Jesse, do you have anything else we need to lay out rules-wise?
No. Hope you get the questions right, Chad. Do you feel good? Do you know your Olympic sports?
Oh, this might be a little tough, but we'll take a stab.
Well, we'll see. Eric, you have question number one.
Wow, the first question, the first word of the first question, I'm not even 100% sure how to pronounce, so this is going to be fun. Feint, plunge, and parry are terms for attacking and defending in which Olympic sport? Boxing, fencing, or Lego building?
I'm going to get fencing.
Fencing's a weird one. Like, I gave it a try last weekend. I turned it on for like 10 minutes. I don't get it.
Oh, I thought you saying I gave it a try meant you tried fencing. Like,
No,
to a fencing club. Okay.
That's physical activity. No, I watched it on one of those channels. And yeah, I don't really get it. They look like astronauts when they're like the helmets and the padding and the like full body suits. It's a weird one. All right, Chad, you're one for one. Question number two in Name That Olympic Sport on Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Which of these Olympic sports features six field players plus a goalkeeper and mandates the two teams wear contrasting caps during play? Six field players plus a goalkeeper and the two teams must wear contrasting caps during play. Is it football, rugby, or water polo?
Water polo.
Nice one, Chad.
I did tune into that last week. I haven't watched much, but I did watch water polo.
Water polo is one of my favorites, Eric. I don't know about you. It's an aggressive sport.
It would be exhausting. You're like, yes. I don't know how you sit. I don't know. I don't know how you can manage to play that sport. It looks exhausting.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you're treading water, you're swimming long distances, sprinting at times.
Right.
You're like elevating yourself and giving all your exerted muscle to like throw the ball into the goal.
And you're also like jockeying for position, like
yes.
You're in the lane. It's wild. All right, question number three. Which Olympic sport allows players to dribble, pass, or shoot, but has not featured a qualifying team from the United States since 1996? Three-on-three basketball, field hockey, or handball?
Ooh. I'm going to say handball.
Chad said he didn't know much about the Olympics, but he is a perfect 3-for-3, which means he has all four of the possible entries for our ESPN Wisconsin prize pack drawing a little bit later in the show.
I mean, I think it was the zen-like calmness that he was experiencing. That's why he was able to answer all those questions correctly.
Chad, what Olympic sport are you going to try to play out at Governor Dodge this weekend?
Play some bags. I think bags should be an Olympic sport. So
was that the dog in the background there hanging out with you?
Oh, man.
We got all types of animals around us.
I love it. Go play some bags. Have a great time. What a day, hey. Man.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That is Chad camping and playing Wildy and Tausch trivia.
My guy is living.
That's fantastic.
L-I-V-I-N. Living. Man.
We appreciate Chad and everyone who takes us with you on your camping trips.
For real.
And of course, if you can't listen live like Chad, you could always set up your little chair out in nature. Just enjoy the view and listen on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Eric, you're a handball guy, right? That's your game?
Yes. I'm actually... I've complained about the U.S. handball program to such an extent that the U.S. team handball Twitter account tags me every time they're about to have a game. Like that, they want. Which again, I'm happy to like tell people about the sport. I find it very amazing, and I find it incredibly entertaining. And more people should watch handball at all times. Very quick moving sport. I mean, you're looking at like a soccer, basketball kind of cross where you're throwing a ball into a net, but you're able to dribble it like a basketball with your hands. There's passing. I have long held belief is that if you would grab a group of Division II All-American men's and women's basketball players and turn them into USA team handball players, they would dominate. I think they could do it. But the problem is the sport is not popular. There haven't been enough people that have played it. And we just got to find a way to get the awareness out there and get more people playing handball. So, I mean, I don't know what I can do in Milwaukee. I don't know if I need to talk to like the Milwaukee Parks Department, whatever it is. But we need to find a way to get more people playing handball because it's a fun game. And also, as an American exceptionalist, we should be better at it. We should dominate. And we don't because we don't care about handball. These other countries do. We got a lot of catching up to do. I hope we're able to do it someday. And I hope that honestly, a dream of mine would be to cover a USA handball gold medal game at some point in my life.
Whoa, Nelly!
I don't know if we can do it, but I feel like we got a lot of time and, you know, hopefully a lot of people out there that want to play some handball.
That's your handball minute with Eric Day. We got the NBA draft and your handball soapbox all involved here in one show. That's awesome. Jason Wilde, this is awesome too. Coverage unlike any other show. Jason Wilde hosting the remainder of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch live from the sidelines of Packers practice. That's next on Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love.
So I get down here to practice. I connect, and I hear not football talk, not NBA draft talk, not Brewers talk, not even pickleball talk. No, handball talk. So yeah. Welcome back to Handball Today. With
you, got some sort of problem with it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to waste any more time on handball, but I'm going to. From whence does this handball fascination spring again? If for those of us just joining the show,
sure.
Where does this come from? Because I did not know that about you, and I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm glad I know it now, but it was definitely unexpected.
I mean, so like I think it was during the 2012 Olympics. I was a recently graduated, I had just gotten out of college. I had a lot of free time on my hand, and I ended up watching a lot of Olympics during the day. And that worked for, you know, filling out resumes, job applications, all of those things that you do when you're looking for a job after you just graduated college. So I had time during the day, and I kept stumbling on handball. And it is fast-paced, it's fun, It is very interesting. And at that point, I kind of became, you know, like an unofficial advocate for handball. But Team USA has made me a somewhat official advocate because they tag me in all their posts telling me when Team USA plays so that I can retweet it. And I happily do. I happily
And you are, again, I do not want our very loyal listeners to relive too much of this. But so are you playing the game now? Is there like a rec league in the greater Milwaukee Metroplex that allows you to play?
No, I've been trying to raise my profile in the community to such a point that I could actually create a league. So I would love to do so. I would love to teach people some rules. I've only played it like once or twice, but
okay.
I would like to make people like aware of it. I think it could be a good time.
Well, thank you for using your platform on Wildy and Tausch as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better.
Thank you for so stupidly giving it to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. By the way, so I've covered all of Aaron Rodgers' career. I covered most of Favre's career. I don't get fazed by talking to them, but I just had like one of those moments where you feel unexpectedly good about yourself and a little like weirdly, I don't want to say nervous, but Johnny Gray, longtime Packers safety from my youth, comes walking in. He does some stuff for Fox 11 here and some other stations in Green Bay. And he says, I was going to Milwaukee a couple weeks ago, and I was listening to you and Tausch on the drive, and you guys have a great show. And of course I'm flattered. And then he says, especially like Tausch is just great. Like that whole thing about the soap clean itself. And I'm like, Johnny, I had your football card. I know it's a real honor for you to like our show. So now he listens every day. So that was really cool of him to say. But I really like the bit about the soap.
That's so good.
Does soap clean itself?
And that's why Tausch is a genius right there. That's why we love him. And that's why we look forward to his return next week, even though we've got one of the best cousin subs in the business when he's not talking handball with us in Eric Name from The Athletic. We've got some Q&A Day questions for our DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day. We have not gotten to those yet. We will get to them next, live from Packers practice at Ray Nitschke Field. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com.
Amari Rodgers each caught a touchdown pass during a drill where, like, each quarterback is throwing a ball, so there's four balls in the air. Because I think Luke Getsy is throwing the fourth one. And the crowd went nuts at this end of the end zone, because they're going into the end that I'm standing at. Devontae Adams now lined up in the slot against air, so I'm guessing he's going to get open. On the slant across the middle, and oh, there's another touchdown. Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams against a very challenging invisible defense. Wildy and Tausch continuing.
Sounds like that invisible defense is getting torched here today.
They're struggling. They're struggling to keep them out of the end zone, Jesse, that's for sure. It is a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day as well, and we'll get to some of your Q&A Day texts coming up. But let's go back to the phones. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Blake in Jesse's favorite town, Maguanago. Blake, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
It's a beautiful day at practice. Absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful day. I just had two things I wanted to bring up. First one, just a little tidbit on the handball aspect.
Oh, jeez.
We're taking handball calls now.
Real quick.
Yes.
So I'm a Phi Ed teacher, and kids absolutely love handball.
Yes.
Mainly because you don't have to do skill development because it's skills from other sports that you do. So exactly. You can do a lot more getting into playing the game. The problem is, like, you have the baseball kids are the best at it, and you can't get people to go in goal because as they get older, they can whip that ball pretty hard. And everyone's like, no, I'm not getting a goal. So, and there's no outlet for them to go do it. Like, there's no place for them to go do it. Everyone will play basketball or whatever. So you need more exposure. But they do like the game. So that's
Blake,
that. But anyway.
Blake, I can't believe I'm going to do this. But I'm going to ask a follow-up question.
Yeah. All right.
God, this is, I'm so irritated, and yet my interest is so piqued that I can't help myself.
Absolutely.
So kids don't want to play goalie. How would you describe a handball ball? Like, what, it's not a Nerf ball, obviously. What exactly would you describe it as?
You can have like a synthetic, like a leather type ball, but obviously when you're talking about a Phi Ed class, you have to adapt to the equipment that you have. You don't go out and buy a specific ball for handball, at least we don't.
Sure.
So
playground ball?
We'll use more like either a gator skin ball if they're a little bit younger, if they're a little bit older. You can have kind of like one of those like a smaller indoor soccer type ball that's a little bit softer and cushier.
Okay.
So that's something we'll use.
All right, that's on me. I can't believe I actually bothered to do that. What was your Packers question?
The Packers thing, like, so when I'm overhearing conversation, one thing that just drives me nuts is some of the people who are saying, like, talking about Aaron Rodgers, and they're like, well, at my job, I can't go in and demand that I play with my friends. And I think they're completely missing the point, because I think an aspect of it is to make sure that you're talking to people who have a better idea of who's a good fit. And they bring up examples of, like, Jordy Nelson going over to Oakland and not doing anything. Well, of course, he's been with Rodgers his entire career. The relationship and the chemistry they develop, he's going to be more productive with the Packers than he is if he goes somewhere else. Same thing with Randall Cobb. But the other thing is, like, in my job, for example, like, if we're trying to hire a teacher, they send that new applicant to go lesson plan with you, and they come back for your opinion. Hey, how is this person in this aspect of it? It's not a bad idea to ask Aaron Rodgers who he works well with and he fits with if he's going to be there.
Right.
So I don't think they're thinking about that full aspect of it when they're just saying that he just wants to be in charge and make all the decisions. He just, like he said, he just wants a voice and share his opinion, but he doesn't feel like that's being listened to, and I don't think that's too much to ask. So that was just the point I wanted to make about that.
No, Blake, I think that's a good point. It's also interesting now that we learn the real reason why handball is now in your class is because you must have had Eric Name as an applicant for a teaching job at your school, and your lesson planning included him. Thanks for the call, Blake. We appreciate it.
I love you guys.
The point that he makes, Eric, though, and look, Rodgers flat out made the point, right? I mean, he said maybe guys are going to be, because Tom Silverstein had said, hey, look, all these guys that you listed off, had the Packers done what you wanted and kept all of them, you would have been wrong about some of them. And Rodgers pushed back by saying, and he pointed to Cobb and he pointed to Jordy Nelson and said, hey, if they're playing with me, maybe they're different than playing in a new system on a new team. I think he also made the point that when you change teams, it takes a while, whatever the sport is, to kind of, you know, in get into the understanding of the system and really ingrain yourself in how they do things. I would ask you, as somebody who covers the NBA, we saw PJ Tucker have a significant impact on this team. Now, you know, he played really good defense and he shot corner threes a lot. But when you saw changes, whether it was bringing in Drew Holiday, not during the season, but obviously in the off season, or a guy that came in during the course of the season, how does the NBA ingrain their guys in the system? Because it's a vastly different game, but it's not nearly as scripted as what we're watching here at practice. But that is part of it, right? The transition to a new team.
Before, let's see, it would have been before game five, I was talking to PJ Tucker about one thing PJ Tucker is known for is he talks all the time, right? Like, he just talks and talks and talks and talks, and everyone loves how much he communicates as a defender. And one of the things I asked him about is that, like, every team in the NBA has their own language. That you could be doing the same thing. Say you're closing out on the left wing, and whatever that action is called defensively is going to be called something different in all 30 locker rooms. That's different.
Okay.
So everyone has their own language. So essentially, I asked PJ, I was like, hey, man, like, you came in mid-season and you tried to learn the language. Like, where do you feel like you are? And he just, like, laughed at me. He's like, man, I get it wrong all the time. He's like, I'm calling stuff that's red, blues, greens, yellows. Like, he's like, I got it all messed up. They just yell at me and tell me I did it wrong. He's like, but at the same time, them yelling at me is me getting them to talk. So everyone's happy with it, right? Like, so these things definitely occur as it goes on. And it's a process. Like, throughout the year, I kept telling people that were yelling at me saying, like, you got to give Drew Holiday the ball. You got to let him be the point guard. You got to let him do all these things. And, you know, you'd go back to Drew Holiday and be like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to play with these guys. Like, I don't quite know how to take over at this moment. I don't know when to fade into the background. I don't know how to set these guys up in the ways that they like. Like, this is a process no matter what. And, you know, I thought it was such a great response from Aaron when, you know, he was told, like, oh, you know, well, these guys weren't any good. Man, James Jones is a nice dude. He seems to really, like, kind of get life in general. But that dude was not doing a thing when he came back to Green Bay for the second time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's the game's greatest red zone threat.
He had 900 yards receiving. He led the league in touchdown catches that year.
Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, that is what Aaron Rodgers can do. Like, he can do that because he's that good. Which is why, you know, I think it was a great point from our caller. And it's something that, like, you know, I keep falling back on. Randall Cobb has been good other places since he left Green Bay. Like, this isn't just like, oh, yeah, you know, pick this dude up off the scrap heap. He hasn't been playing. He's been doing stuff. You don't think a dude that's been doing stuff other places all of a sudden can get an Aaron Rodgers boost playing in the slot? Oh, I beg to differ. I think he's going to have a good year, and I think it's going to be very helpful for this Packers team.
Yeah, it's not like he's been on the farm for the last 2 years like Jordy Nelson. I still can't believe people actually think that I'm trying to get Jordy Nelson back, or that, or more importantly, that Davante Adams is. Davante Adams made the same joke I did. Clearly, Davante Adams is funnier than I am. I am at practice. Aaron Rodgers is throwing touchdown passes to Davante Adams right now. We'll continue from practice during the 11 o'clock hour of Will D. Tausch, which starts in 2 minutes.